that today is Father's Day, I thought it would be a pretty good time to talk about legacy. What is the legacy that you are leaving for your children, whether you are a father or not? What's the story that your life is writing? Will people remember you as a primarily selfish person or a selfless one? Those questions come right out of the passage of Scripture that we are going to look at this morning, a passage of Scripture that's not terribly well known, but one that I think is very meaningful. It comes from Acts 9, starting in verse 36. So if you have your Bibles with you, Acts 9, verse 36 is where you can go to follow along. Now, I have a confession to make right off the bat here. When I was a child, I had an Aunt Dorcas. She was my mom's great aunt, and so technically she was my great-great aunt, and often we would go to the senior's home in Ridgetown to go and visit her. And as an eight-year-old, I thought it was really funny that her name was Dorcas. It is a very lovely name, except that in English, Dorcas has a different, less than flattering meaning. But when I found this story in Acts 9, I gained a whole new appreciation for Dorcas and for the woman that she was named after. So let me introduce her to you if you've not seen her before. Acts 9, verse 36. In Joppa, that's modern-day Jaffa, on the Israeli shore, in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha. That's the Hebrew word for gazelle, and so Luke also tells us the Greek word for gazelle, which is Dorcas. So Tabitha and Dorcas both mean gazelle. The implication here, I guess, is that this woman was a noble, beautiful, gazelle-like person. So Tabitha Dorcas was always doing good and helping the poor. Verse 37, about that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Some scholars speculate that this might have been a room in her house, which meant that she was a woman of some means, and maybe the church even met in this house. Verse 38, Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. It's not entirely clear what they were hoping that Peter would do. I mean, on one hand, the fact that she was washed and prepared for burial suggests that maybe they were just hoping that Peter would come and do the funeral. Normally, a person would be buried on the same day that they died, so it may be that they just wanted Peter to come and do the funeral. Others, though, would say the fact that they hadn't buried her already suggested that maybe they were hoping that Peter would resurrect her. Whatever the case, Peter apparently dropped whatever it was that he was doing and traveled back with them the 17 kilometers as the crow flies to Joppa. When he arrived, he was taken to the upstairs room, and all the widows stood around him crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made them while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and he prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers together and the widows and presented her to them alive. And this incredible news became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord because of it. That's a really powerful moment. Peter prayed that God would bring Dorcas back to life again, and God did. Tabitha, Dorcas, showed that God had power over death, and that what happened to her would ultimately happen to anyone who believed in Jesus, they would ultimately be resurrected. And many people came to faith in light of it. Now, in the flow of the book of Acts, that's the main point of this passage, but I want us to focus in on a couple of details that the passage gives us. Look back again at our passage. How does Luke describe Dorcas? Verse 36, there was a disciple, a follower of Jesus. There was a disciple named Dorcas who was always doing good. She was always helping the poor. Verse 39, all of the widows were there, right? Crying and showing Peter all that Dorcas had made for them while she was still alive. When Dorcas died, people gathered around her, remembered all of the ways that she had served them in life. You get the sense that Dorcas lived for the benefit of others. Right? She was a disciple. She knew Jesus, and it appears that this was a person who knew Jesus, and not only that, she lived in light of it. She lived a life that was worthy of the calling and the blessing that she had received. She knew Jesus' self-giving generosity, and so she lived in light of that. She left behind a legacy of generosity. You've probably heard this saying before: don't etch your name on tombstones, etch your name on hearts. The legacy that you leave is etched in the minds of others and the stories they share about you. Clearly, that is what Dorcas did. What about you? What will your legacy be? What will people be doing at your visitation? You know, I think that this is important for us to really consider as Christians. I mean, anybody can be charitable and generous, but it is especially important for us to be generous because we ourselves have been the recipients of tremendous generosity. Jesus, who was God, did not count equality with God something to be selfishly clung to, but instead he laid it down. He went so far as to die on the cross for us, forgiving our sin and giving us the hope of resurrection, that we too would one day live again just as Dorcas did. Jesus didn't look only to his own interests, he looked to our interests as well, and generously made sacrifices so that we could live. In light of that, we need to leave a Christ-like legacy of generosity in our lives. That's the big idea I want you to take with you today. Leave a Christ-like legacy of generosity. Just like Dorcas, live your life so that when you are gone, people will celebrate all of the good things that you have done for them. As I say, scholars think that she was a woman of some means, with time and opportunity to do good. And many of us are in that same situation. We have time, we have opportunity, we have gifts and unique abilities that will enable us to serve others. Follow in Dorcas's footsteps. Follow in Jesus' footsteps. Look for ways to selflessly serve others in this life. Live so that you will leave a Christ-like legacy of generosity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Dorcas's life. The fact that her death and resurrection and character are recorded for us here in Scripture means that she is an important person, means that there is an important lesson for us here to learn. And it's not like she was this far-flung evangelist who went to all the corners of the earth. She made robes for people. She opened her house and let people come in. She left a mark on people's hearts. And we remember her and honor her for it. And Lord, I can't help but think that she did that as your disciple, as someone seeking more than anything else to walk in your footsteps. Help us to be like that, too. Help us to be people who live generous lives now, following in your footsteps, that we would leave a legacy of generosity, that people would remember us as selfless, giving to others people. Thank you for Dorcas's life, and thank you for her resurrection, too. Lord, we know that eventually she died, but we look forward to meeting her in the grand resurrection at the end of time. And thank you that her resuscitation here, her resurrection here, gives us a picture of what we have to look forward to. Jesus, because you laid down your life for us, you will raise us back to life again at the final day. Thank you for that promise, Lord, that no martyrdom, that no cancer, that no coronavirus can keep us down. As we trust in you, Lord, we have the guarantee of your eternal blessing. And we pray that you would help us to live a life worthy of that now. Give us your selfless generosity. Help us to live it out in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.